those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Now back to the American Warrior.
Welcome back, folks. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. One of the greatest honors of my life as a civilian supporting the military was when the captain of the USS Tucson submarine called his sailors to attention, asked me up to the front of the room, shook my hand, presented me a hat, and called me a shipmate. The relationship between the Tucson community, for those local listeners, and the USS Tucson, which is a fast attack, Los Angeles-class fast attack submarine, is one of the best in the nation, and we're very fortunate to have a special, I'd say a celebrity visitor joining us in studio now. He is the Sailor of the Year for the USS Tucson, Petty Officer Michael Larson. Michael, welcome. I guess your first time in Tucson, huh?
Yes. Thanks for having me. Definitely a first time in Tucson. First time anywhere close to this area, actually.
Whereabouts you, what do you call home originally?
Originally, I'm from Massachusetts, about 15 minutes north of Boston, a town called Woburn.
Okay. Now, I talked to the skipper, Michael, and he said you are a true quiet professional, which is cool in the silent service, but this is radio, brother. Well, you know, stretch the answers a little bit, okay?
Okay, I'll try to stretch out my answers as much as possible.
It's just a friendly chat, Michael. So, what? Tell it. You're a machinist mate. I'm a civilian. I'm a not very educated civilian, but for our listeners out there as well, tell us what a machinist mate does in terms we'll understand without revealing national secrets.
Okay, so typically, just like your car or even at your house, there's things that break or things that need to be upkept. You got to do a little mandatory maintenance once in a while. And machinist mates, we're the guys that we do a lot of maintenance. We fix the pipes. We just do some of the dirty work, unclogging toilets, whatnot. Fixing pumps, machinery. Not all of it is very technical. Some of it's just a lot of grind work, you know, cleaning stuff. But then a lot of times it is very technical, breaking out books and getting into weird machinery that nobody ever gets a chance to work on.
So just to give some folks some background, because they need to understand this, a fast attack submarine, it's your mission, among other things, to very often go places where you're not supposed to be, and people shouldn't know you're there. So if a part breaks, it's not like you can just pop up to the surface and say, hey, you know, fly in a new one. I mean, sometimes you're there, and you've got to fix it underwater, or else it doesn't get fixed. Right?
Oh, exactly. And that's part of the challenge. Sometimes that's kind of the fun aspect of being a machinist mate or even some other rates on board. Being able to overcome the obstacles with what you have. A lot of times we have spare parts on board, or there's alternate lineups you can use to make the machinery continue on until the end of the mission. A lot of times you got to think outside of the box, and to me, that's one of the funnest parts about the job. Coming together as a team with your brothers or sisters, thinking outside the box and coming up with some of the crazy ideas just to stay on mission and keep going.
So basically, again, so I can comprehend, Michael, is there anything on the submarine you're not in charge of fixing? I mean, if it involves the nuke, is there somebody different that does that? If it involves weapons, or someone different that does that?
Yeah. In fact, sometimes it's kind of, we have a little bit of a, I wouldn't say a battle, but we really like to pawn some of our stuff on the electrical division. As soon as just about everything that's mechanical also gets electrical power. So anytime something breaks, instantly all the machinist mates are like, I think that's an electrical problem. You know? And then, you know, EDIV will come down, the electrical division will come down, they'll do some troubleshooting and be like, nope, sorry, brother. That's definitely mechanical. We're like, all right, I guess we'll fix it then.
So generally, I guess depending on your mission, you've got anywhere from, what, 130 to 140 sailors or guests on board when you deploy on a mission?
Yeah, it fluctuates a little bit. I'd say, yeah, somewhere between 130, 140. Sometimes there's riders. You get inspection teams that come on board. But that's the typical average, yes.
So you strike me as, you know, as the skipper told me, you're a quiet professional, so you're going to hate this question, but I get to answer it anyway because it's my darn show, Michael. I mean, out of 150 sailors, being selected the Sailor of the Year, I mean, you're the guy for 2017. How does that make you feel?
Well, it's definitely eye-opening, because sometimes I'm definitely not the only one, but a lot of times you do your work on a daily basis, weekly basis, yearly basis, and you don't really know that people are seeing the work that you're doing. You may have fixed a few things or done a few changes to admin that needed to be done, and you feel like you did a good job, but if, at the end of the day, you don't know if people even recognized what you did. So it's nice to see that people above you actually see what you're doing, and they recognize it, and they want to show you that appreciation.
You could have gone to work as a heavy diesel mechanic at Caterpillar, opened up your own shop somewhere. You still can, obviously, you're a young man, but what motivated Michael Larson to want to go out on a submarine hundreds of feet below the surface of the sea?
You mean originally?
Yeah.
So originally, I had an uncle that was in the Navy. He was on an aircraft carrier. I also had my grandfather, who was in the Navy as well. So when I joined, I wanted to do something different that was more challenging. And luckily, my recruiter said, hey, we got this submarine thing.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I really didn't know anything about submarines. However, that was kind of the lure to it. I wanted to do something and learn something that I could tell my uncle about or my grandfather about, something that they didn't get a chance to do. So I could, I guess kind of one-up them in a way,
Now, I've got to clarify, because we get this question quite a bit, the USS Tucson and all the other Los Angeles-class boats are nuclear-powered. That does not necessarily mean you're carrying nuclear weapons. Your principal weapons are the good old-fashioned torpedoes. They're better torpedoes than they were in World War II, but torpedoes, and then a Tucson favorite, the Tomahawk.
Yes. So nuclear powered, exactly right. So it doesn't mean we carry nuclear warheads or anything like that. We run off a reactor to provide propulsion, really.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, you're right. The Tomahawks, torpedoes, that's our main weapon of choice. In fact, I had the pleasure of going to Raytheon here in Tucson. That was actually a very exciting tour. I learned a lot about stuff that I see every day, and I still don't know anything about.
Well, and for our listeners around the country, Raytheon's facility here in Tucson is where they manufacture the Tomahawk, which is one of the weapons of the choice that's carried on the fast attack boats and some of the larger submarines as well, even some of the bigger shooters. So you can tell Michael I'm a quiz kind of guy, so I got a quiz for you, brother.
Sure.
Or can I say shipmate? I didn't earn it with you yet. Never mind. I got the ball cap on, but I haven't earned it with you. There are, how many windows on a fast attack submarine?
Well, we got one.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. We don't have any windows. No windows. They're not going to withstand the pressure, so.
Well, okay. I believe, sir, that you have two.
Oh, please tell me. I'd like to learn something about
there's one on the washer and one on the dryer.
Oh, that's not fair.
It was a trick question. So the relationship between the USS, how long have you been on board the boat?
I've been on board this boat for just over 3 years.
And how many submarines were you on prior to this?
This is my second submarine that I've been stationed on.
Okay. And, we pride ourselves that we believe, and we've been told the namesake relationship between the USS Tucson and our community is one of the best in the Navy. You got to hang out with the mayor yesterday. You've been out to the fire chief, Raytheon. You're going to spend some time with the police department while you're here. What is your honest evaluation based on your experience on the other boats? How does that relationship compare? And maybe more importantly, why is that important for you and your families and the families of the crew?
From what I've seen in Tucson, this place has a lot of pride in having the namesake of the boat. My last boat, there was a little bit of pride there. I never got to go visit, however, so I couldn't tell you from that perspective how the people back from where that boat was named after, how they felt. But being in Tucson, the warm welcome, the events that we're doing, it's all really eye-opening to see that you guys actually, you're well aware of what we're doing out there on the ocean, and you guys take a lot of pride in it, and it makes us want to take more pride in what we do, actually.
Michael, I got to say, I've had the distinct pleasure of going out to sea with the USS Tucson on two occasions, and that, it's one thing to see Hunt for Red October, which was 100% accurate, right?
100%.
Well, there's an ocean. We know that. Okay, so that was accurate. But I mean, the amount of respect I have for you and your fellow submariners after doing that is huge. I mean, you've got 130, 138 people in a tube about, you know, as long as a football field, about maybe three stories high, but you are cramped. You're always busy. You're doing things that, like I said, sometimes you are out there by yourself and there's no cavalry coming, but the Tucson has won several awards, not just Battleese, but, several Navy unit commendations, which is a really big deal. Now, nobody can tell me anything about those missions because they're classified, but that's a huge, huge deal for what you and your fellow sailors are doing out there.
It is a huge deal. We don't honestly think about it on a daily basis, of course, you know. I think your last guy you had on, Dan, he mentioned something about for successful business, you have to have, you know, goals that you want to maintain. And that's what we do on board the submarine. We have personal goals. We have command goals that we want to achieve, and that's all we really think about on a daily basis. We don't think about the dangers we're having or anything like that. We just keep moving forward, trying to better ourselves.
Well, you're a better man than I, Michael. I tell you, when I was on board, if it wasn't for all the great food they were serving me, I would have been completely freaking out. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. You know, when a member of our military deploys, the whole family deploys. When we come back, we're going to add another special guest to the mix. We'll be right back.
My daddy served in the Army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard. Till the day that he died, he wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free.
If you want to discuss those who serve the red, white, and blue, dial 520-751-1041. Now, back to the American Warrior. And we
lit up your... Welcome back to American Warrior Radio. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined live in studio by Chief Petty Officer Michael Larson. I stand corrected. My apologies, Michael.
No, if
I was on the submarine, that would have cost me probably, huh?
No. We're open brotherhood down there.
Okay. Michael is the Sailor of the Year for 2017 off the USS Tucson. That is a fast attack, Los Angeles fast attack boat based out of Pearl Harbor. We've got a caller. I guess, Michael, you got a fan here. You're lighting up the lines here. So let's go to Kevin, I think it is, Sam. Kevin, what have you got to share with the USS Tucson here today?
Hey, Michael. Great to have you in town, brother.
Oh, thanks. Nice to be here. Thank you.
I'm a fellow fast attack sailor, a 637 class out of Pearl Harbor, and rotor to the North Pole, been around the world twice, didn't see squat. You know that story, right?
Yeah, sometimes, unfortunately, that's how it goes, but at least you got to see Pearl Harbor, right?
Exactly. But listen, you're hauling the mail for the fast attack service. Great to hear it, man. It's we all know that SS stands for silent service, and you're doing a good job. You know, don't give them all the secret, brother.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm trying to say the right thing without saying too much. You know how hard that can be sometimes, right?
Exactly. We can either confirm or deny, like Ben likes to say from time to time. But listen, now, real quick, I know the time is busy. I got to meet Commander Hart at a Tucson Roadrunners hockey game last year, and he was nice enough to give me a command coin and even mailed me a Tucson ball cap. So two treasured items from your boat. So, if we can get a polo shirt from a Tucson, that'd be even better.
I'll see what I can do. Thank you. I appreciate the call and I definitely appreciate the service and the shout out. Thank you.
Well, listen, thank you. Thank you, Chief. And my wife is a retired senior chief. So my wife and I are both retired Navy, 63 years combined service. So, see if you can hit that for us too, man.
Oh, well, I guess I'll have to talk my wife into joining and see if we can combine that.
Thank you, Ben. Hey, Mark, you guys do a great job.
Hey, thanks for listening to American Warrior Radio. Spread the word. I'm guessing you can probably get that T-shirt now that you're, you know, your best buds with the Sailor of the Year. You can probably make that happen, Michael. Folks, before the break, I mentioned one of the things that civilians, and when we talk about that gap of understanding between those who serve and those who don't serve, one of the issues that doesn't come up is the fact that when someone in our military, whether it's Air Force or Marines or Army or Coasties or in this case the Navy, our submariners deploy, the entire family deploys. I want to read a portion of an article here before going to our next guest. And it's a wife who's talking about it. It's an article called More Than 100 Sleeps by T.T. Robinson. And she's talking about it and talking about how they're working on putting artwork together in envelopes for the cards, in this case, a Happy Thanksgiving card. And she says, "We sat on the couch, both children on his lap, as he told them he would be going away soon. After over a year of frequent workups, short deployments, usually lasting a few weeks, the kids understood all too well what leaving on the ship means. They have known for some time that this one would be different. It's why we did Disneyland. It's why we flew to see Nana and Papa." As our three-year-old listened somewhat apathetically, our daughter's voice audibly quivered. "How long, Daddy? Like 100 sleeps?" His response was, "More than that, baby, quite a few more than that." She asked if he would miss Halloween. As she went through each holiday, Thanksgiving, Christmas, my birthday, Valentine's Day, the crying in our collective heartbreak intensified. This is the part that people don't see. The emotional roller coaster that leads up to the deployment is often just as hard, if not harder, than the actual goodbye. We're going to introduce a second guest here now, and she's the other half of the Sailor of the Year, and it's Michael's wife, Alicia. Alicia, welcome to American Warrior Radio.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Okay, it's just radio, it's okay. I didn't mean to get you down there, Alicia, but I think that, you know, share with us how important it is. You know, Michael talked about the namesake relationship. While they're at sea doing what they're supposed to do to protect our nation and keeping the bad guys at bay, there are families, in this case, back in Pearl Harbor, that are keeping on, keeping on. In your case, you know, there's children. I'm sure there's other families and wives and kids of the sailors out there. What do you, as a spouse, do to keep the morale high or support those families while they're deployed?
The biggest thing we do is we have the FRG, the Family Readiness Group, that takes care of the families. We offer support. We're kind of not really the liaison between the boat, that's a different part, but we take care of the families on island in this case and off island. So we have a lot of support from single sailors, parents and grandparents and siblings. We do holiday events. We do get-togethers, whether it's taking the kids to the beach for the day while the boat is gone or bowling. We do halfway nights during the deployments, mm-hmm. and then we do homecoming parties. We work with the boat on those, and we do them separate as well. So we do a lot to try to keep the morale up with the families while the boat is gone. And we also do, we call them single sailor boxes, but we get mm-hmm. them for every sailor on board. We put them together so that way for the crew at their halfway, where they're all able to open a box with a little something from home, whether it comes from their family or just comes from the FRG in general, putting those boxes together. We take a lot of donations for that from the outside to have the support to share with everyone, the families and the sailors alike.
Alicia, talk a little bit more about that, because I want to really emphasize for people that don't understand, when the USS Tucson is deployed, when she's out there doing what they do, you can't just pop up. So, you know, not to insult the other services, but generally there's not a mail call. There's not, you know, you can't just, you know, so the things that you do when you can get them to your sailors must be hugely important.
Yeah, we try. Every once in a while we'll get what they call a mail drop, which is usually an envelope, a card with just, you know, maybe a couple pictures if you can fit them, or just mm-hmm. a note. But generally we try to do the boxes, and we do calendar squares, which is we make a big calendar for the deployment dates, and each person is able to fill them out so their sailor has a little piece of home. We try to do all of that before the deployment. So a lot of times these items are made months in advance before the boat even goes. So any chance we get to send something that's a little more updated, we jump on it, and we make sure we get the word out to our families, and we make sure that we get everything back in time so that the sailors get that taste of home of something more recent than what it was when they left.
Do you find it difficult as well as a spouse and a family that, again, as I mentioned, they all your husband can tell you is, "Honey, we're going to the Western Pacific."
Yeah.
That's a lot of acreage.
Yeah.
And they can't
sometimes
just...
it's better not knowing.
Well,
sometimes it's nice to not know.
Fair enough. We're all about learning here. But generally, you there is no contact, right?
Very minimal. His last deployment, we were pretty fortunate. We had a lot of contact. But, I mean, we can go up to 4 months or so with no contact.
At all.
No emails, no phone calls, no anything. It's not unheard of to go that long with no contact. So a lot can happen in those 4 months.
Alicia, part of the Michael and your visit to Tucson is supported by the USS Tucson 770 Club, which is a group of both former military and civilians whose mission it is to support you and your families. Apart from supporting the USS Tucson, what else could folks do to support the Tucson families there in Hawaii? I mean, does FRG have a website or a Facebook page or something?
We have a Facebook page. Unfortunately, it's private because of OPSEC.
Oh, sure.
But our email is usstucsonfrg@gmail.com. So if anybody wants any information on how they can contribute or any sort of information that we are able to share, that would be the best place to get in touch with us.
And I want to thank you for bringing up the single sailors, too, because so often they don't have anyone generally back in port taking care of them. Michael, we've got about a minute and a half. Anything else you want to share with our listeners? Alicia, either one of you? It's such a pleasure to have you here in studio.
No, I think for the most part, Alicia kind of hit it on the head there. But I do want to say, like, for the spouses, I don't know how they do it. I think they got the hardest part of the job. Mm. There's times when I am home, I'll offer Alicia, you know, hey, why don't you go out and get some groceries or go get a massage. I'll take the kids for the day. She'll come home after 3 or 4 hours and she'll be like, okay, did everything go okay? And I'm like, yeah, it was great. But honestly, at the end of those 3 hours, I was ready to pull all my hair out. I don't know how she watches all the kids. I don't know how all the other spouses do it. It's a tough job. I think they got the harder part of the job, actually.
Well, it's my pleasure to have both the Sailor of the Year and maybe the Spouse of the Year. No, she's shaking her head no right here in the studio. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in. You can find this podcast and others at AmericanWarriorRadio.com. On Facebook, American Warrior Radio, you can follow us there. We even have a Twitter page at Warrior Radio TUC. Please spread the word if you support what we're doing and would like to kick in a little bit. Visit American Warrior or Patreon.com, patreon.com/American Warrior. Until next time, all policies and procedures are to remain in place.